Now, I started way before then. I started recording, wow, I don't know, my first tune I did was, came here in Lake Charles, I did Tell Me, mm-hmm. which they didn't do nothing with it. A guy named Eddie Shuler paid for my session, and he's supposed to have sent it off to some major labels. You know how young guys have just dreams, they want to be on these big labels, mm-hmm. and you think that you're going to get on and they reject you. First time I made a demo, they rejected, and then I tried again to do my own, and came to Shula, and then he said that he had some connection with some people, he's gonna send it off, and he never did. Mm-hmm. And he just put it up, and fortunate, I'm not gonna talk bad about these guys like most artists do. I'm fortunate that he took it and kept it in his vault. And some people from Europe came in and liked the little thing and put it out. It made noise, and it wound up on Tough Enough album with the Thunderbirds and sold 1 million copies. So we made a lot of money on it.
So it all came back in the
yeah.
end. Huh?
So it cost me about $25, a loaf of bread, a pile of bologna, and a couple of soda waters, and a trip to here.
So at least he
to
saved
record
you.
It. So, but. Eddie had that little thing that he wouldn't throw things away or record over. A lot of producers back then, the guys in the business, they would record, and then they needed the tape. You know, mm-hmm. times was tough, and if you didn't sound quite right, they'd come and erase your stuff and put somebody else on that same tape.
Were you playing in clubs around the area?
I was. I was playing around Alexandria, Morganza. Mm-hmm. New Roads. I didn't play much Ron Opelousas in Lafayette because you had to be pretty hot to play there. You had people like Good Rock and Bob, you had Little Bob, mm-hmm. You had Guitar Gable with his records, you had Lonesome Sundown. All the best gigs was taken. And then you had the original Boogie Kings, Doug Aldwin and the Boogie Kings. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of stayed north, stayed kind of near the territory. That was my territory. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever throw in a French song or
no.
La La song?
I didn't even dream of.
It was a different kind of.
What started me playing music, actually, to back the story up a little bit, I wanted to be in movies. Mm-hmm. And I used to go to movies all the time, see all those cowboys and stuff. I didn't want to work on the farm because I love the country, love the farm, but not work.
Where did you go to the movies?
A place called Palmetto, a theater there. Yeah. And we'd go on weekends and whenever we could get some money. And I didn't like farming because you got paid once a year if you saved your crop. If you didn't, it's a disaster. You have to work again and you have to spend money. So I'd say if I would work, I would want to get paid every week.
What were your parents farming? What kind of crop?
Cotton, corn, uh-huh. stuff like that.
Is it their own farm? Or their
yes. And I was really influenced by my daddy, which he don't even know it today. But he's a hard worker. And I kind of based myself on like he did. He'd buy one thing at a time and pay for it. Brought his first car home. I was just a little tiny kid. And I remember when he bought his first horse, his first mule, his first tractor. Mm-hmm. I remember when he bought his house. I remember when he bought the land. That was a big thing, you know. So I tried to do like him in the later years. Mm-hmm. But farming wasn't for me. I wanted to be in the movies, and then people laughed at me a lot. I always wanted to do what was the impossible, you know, like. And being a movie, I just didn't want to be in the movie. I wanted to be Roy Rogers.
You wanted to be Roy Rogers?
I wanted to be like Roy uh-huh. Rogers. Uh-huh. And then when I found out I couldn't be like Roy Rogers, then that was the big disappointment.
Why couldn't you be like Roy Rogers?
Well, you got to understand, I wanted to be the top cowboy. I wanted to be, and then my brother and them would let me go on like that dream. And then when it got to the nitty gritty, then they'd say, you can't do it. And I'd say, why? I had this big dream, you know. And they'd say, first of all, you got to do this and do this. Next thing they'd say, because you're black. You know, uh-huh. say you can't, they ain't got no black cowboy gonna ride to town and clean up the town. I used to say that I'm gonna ride to town, clean it up, and take out in the sunset, you know.
Man.
But I'm not thinking that way, you see.
How old were you then?
7, 8.
I mean, how'd that, when they said, you know, you can't do that because, you know, How do you learn that when you're 7 years old? You
know, that's what I'm saying. That was the big disappointment.
Yeah.
And I'm not thinking that way. I never did think that way. But my people would tell me that. You know, my brother, my uncle, you know, my mama would bring in the corner. But I never did look at it like that. But that was a big disappointment in life to me. Looked like everything I wanted to do either was that, or I didn't have the money, or I couldn't go to school, I couldn't leave. Or, you know, I always just picked the wrong thing. But anyway, so then I'm going to be a brother. You know, I didn't want to really work hard. I wanted to be a priest after that.
Okay.
Then I said, man, I had those dreams. You know, I said, I'm a priest, I don't have to work. They got their own car. You know, I dream a lot. You know, I say, man, I just got to just serve the Lord and the church and stuff. And, you know, heck, give me my own car, my own place to stay, travel. And then, but you had to go to school 8 or 9 years. I forgot to learn all those languages. And I was catching hell.
Forget learning Latin, huh?
Yeah. So then I talked to a priest and he said, well, you could be a brother. Don't go so long. And just about that time, I got a little old enough where I started kind of looking at the girls, you know? So then that was out.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
But anyway, you're right out of tape. But,
oh, no, I just made sure the mic was plugged in. Yeah.
But, so then that was out. Then that's when the cowboy thing came in. Then I was just disgusted after that. You know, I just, you know, didn't know what I wanted to be. And I was in school, and Catholic, I went to Catholic school, and I was an altar boy. And every so often, a priest would come in and ask everybody what they're going to be, because they tried to get girls and to go to convent, and the guys to go to be priests and stuff. And the priest would come in and see, you know, if that was your calling, if God had called you, if you had what your calling was. And so everybody stood up, and they wouldn't try to force you to just see where you're coming from, what you wanted to be. And different people said doctors and lawyers, and then a couple of them talking about agriculture, you know, and I'd look at them, I'd say, you know, and I was thinking working in the field. I wasn't thinking about teaching it, you know. And then you had the 4-H club. I used to hate that, you know, because that was all about, you know.
Farming.
Yeah. So the priest, everybody stood up and said what they wanted. And then everybody knew me. They knew how I was, you know. Got to me. So I barely, you know, they say, sit in this thing up and tell us. And I just got up slow, you know, and everybody looking at me kind of grinning, you know, see what I'm going to say. And then I was kind of smart, you know. Not say smart, you know, what they call a smart aleck. Not smart aleck. I'll say what I think, you know. And they're looking at me to see what I'm going to say. So I stand up and I look at my partner, and then he get to laughing. And everybody grinning. So they say, what's wrong? And then everybody started laughing. So I look at the priest. So he said, well, what do you want to be? I say, well, that's how I say it. I say, well, it's not what I want to be. I say, it's what I'm going to have to be. I say, I can't be what I want to be. Then the priest said, well, son, you can almost be just about anything you want to be. He said, if you're willing and the Lord is willing. And he said, you try hard enough. And I said, no, see, ain't too much I can do about this. And I said, I don't believe the Lord can do too much either. And I looked back at everybody. Man, everybody went to laughing. And so he said, what is this you want to be? And I said, well, I wouldn't say, because everybody's going to laugh, you know. They knew the story already. So I said, I just can't be what I want to be. He said, why? I said, well, first place, because I'm black. And I don't know, man, the teacher just says, Simeon, you go out in the hall, and you stay there until we finish with this, and the priest's going to talk to you. So the priest, so I went in the hall, and so, man, I walked around and with a little attitude, you know, so the priest come out there. I said, well, I guess he's going to try to beat me or whatever he's going to do, but I'm right. The priest came up to me, but I didn't expect that, you know. came up to me and he tapped me on my shoulder. He said, "Hey, my boy," he said, "what is it that you want to be that you can't be?" So I said, "Well," I said, "I don't know." He said, "You want a soda water?" I looked up at him and I remember what time it was. You know, it was almost time to be out of class. Yeah. I said, "Yeah, I'll take a soda water." So he said, "Let's go drink a soda water."
Wow. He sounds like a pretty nice guy.
Well, he knew what he was doing, you know. Uh-huh. So we went up there and he got a soda water, started drinking. He said, "You know what I'm saying, all the time, well, when I say black, I guess, you know, he had to try to approach me right, I guess. I guess it's in the teaching, I don't know." Yeah. But he had me. So we drank that soda water, started talking, he started telling me all kind of stuff. He said, "What is it you want to be? Or what you want it to be?" So I said, "Well, I want to be in the movies." He said, "Well, lots of people be in the movies. What you want it to be?" I said, "Well, I want to be a cowboy." Well, he already knew I was black. So he said, he said, "That could be a little problem." He said, "Maybe later on in life," he said, "another 10, 20 years." He said, "Right now," he said, "but you really want to be in movies?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Are you going to be in movies?" He said, "Who said you can't be in movies?" Mm-hmm. He said, "Oh, my brothers are making fun of me." He said, "Oh, you can be in the movies? You really want to be in movies?" So I look at it, you know, I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, do you have to be a cowboy?" I said, "Well, that's what I want to be." He said, what do you like about the cowboy?" So I told him, he said, "Tell me the story." So I said, "Well, Sinatra, Roy Rogers come to town." I said, "He had a guitar and he'd be playing." I was playing guitar in the house. Uh-huh. So he come in there and he starts singing. I said, "He'd get the girls and leave and everybody respect him." He said, "Oh, you like singing and playing?" I said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "Don't you play a little guitar?" I said, "Yeah, I mess with it a little bit." He said, "Now that's it." He said, "Won't you be an entertainer?" He said, "I can put you in the movies." He said, "Like Duke Ellington." And he said, "This young guy just up there, like Nat King Cole." He said, "You know the white folks is crazy about Duke Ellington and Nat King Cole." He said, "But as entertainers," he said, "that's the route to go, in the movies." He said, "Think about that." He said, "And I'll have you take a piano lesson." Uh-huh. So he said, "Tomorrow, come talk to me."
This was the priest, huh?
A priest. So the priest talking around.
Is he a white priest or black?
White priest.
White priest.
Yeah. Sure. So I thought about it and I gave it up. And then I had a test coming up. The 2 days. I didn't go see him that day. So the third day, it was a Wednesday, I think, I went in and we had a test. So I thought about it. I said, "May I be excused? The priest wanted to talk to me about taking the piano." I did anything to get out of here. So anyway,
I went. You worked it, huh?
Yeah, so I went and talked to the priest, and the priest said, "Oh, yeah, yeah." And this priest turned my life around, man. He said he made me take up piano lessons. He paid for it, and he told me to play music. And that's what I did. And I get emotional when I talk about it, man. And
how old were you then?
Maybe 10, 11, 10, 11 years old.
Well, sometimes it's one person to step in and take an interest in.
And so I started playing the piano and guitar, and that's the best thing. That's why I could play the piano and accordion today and do so much. Because I was just banging on the guitar. But that priest turned my life around, and I started playing music. Started playing at the school. He started calling churches and booking me, and that's how I got started.
Wow.
Yeah.